Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The global stock rally continues as investors bet on an interest rate cut.
Knowing Jay Powell, I think he's signaling really a pragmatic response.
Policymakers are walking along a ridgeline, and there's a very narrow band of flexibility.
I think it's justified. I don't think it's what Powell anticipated.
U.S. futures gain, treasuries advance, and the dollar steadies.
President Trump will be among world leaders in England to remember D-Day, plus the White House directs two former Trump aides not to turn over documents to the House. I'm Mike LaBar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets blew a lead, lost in 10 innings to the Giants. The Yankees lost in Toronto. The NBA Finals resume tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And the global stock rally continues this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 17 points, Dow futures up 151, and NASDAQ futures are up 57. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, so is the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.8%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.12%, yield on the 2-year 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 20 cents to $53.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 1.1% or $14 to $13.42.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1284 against the dollar. The yen 108.30. Nathan.
Karen, global markets are taking yesterday's remarks from Jerome Powell as a sign the Fed chairman is open to cutting interest rates. That's boosting risk appetite after yesterday's 2% gain for U.S. stocks. John Rowe is head of multi-asset funds at Legal & General.
I think it's justified. I don't think it's what Powell anticipated. I definitely think he was hoping to underpin and calm fears of further slides, but getting a big positive reaction from the equity market was probably more than he bargained for, because it could embolden Trump. It almost goes too early, and it almost gives the impression that they'll act with very little pain, which is a bit of a worry when it comes to the Powell put.
Both Powell and Vice Chairman Richard Clarida say they're watching closely for signs that trade tensions could slow the U.S. economy.
And those same concerns have the World Bank cutting its forecast for global growth. Here with the story, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The bank cited a slowdown in trade growth to the weakest since the financial crisis a decade ago and a drop in global investment. It forecasts that the world economy will expand 2.6% this year, compared with a projection of 2.9% it made in January and easing from an estimated 3% last year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. As trade concerns linger, some executives at the Bloomberg Invest Conference worry the Fed may make a misstep. Jonathan Levine is chief investment officer at Bain Capital.
Two-thirds of all the recessions since World War II have actually been caused by some Fed policy. Fed policy either being too slow or too fast.
So far, traders don't see a cut coming at this month's policy meeting, and Vice Chair Clarida says the central bank won't be handcuffed by market pricing. David McCormick is co-CEO at Bridgewater Associates.
Policymakers are walking along a ridgeline, and there's a very narrow band of flexibility they have at their disposal. And the situation's much more complicated because a set of externalities as well, or things that are not in their control.
And we hear more from the Fed today when Dallas President Robert Kaplan sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg at 7:30 a.m. Wall Street time. That's followed by a conversation with Chicago Fed President Charles Evans an hour later at 8:30. You can catch both those interviews on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Meanwhile, Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan is warning of potential carnage in leveraged loans. He made the remarks at the Economic Club of New York.
It'll be ugly for those companies and ugly if the economy slows down and they can't carry the debt and they have to be restructured and, you know, there'll be the usual carnage that goes on. I think the issue that's there that is in the leverage finance, has the terms gotten too favorable to the borrower?
Though he's concerned about leveraged finance, Moynihan said the U.S. economy is on solid footing. Data compiled by Bloomberg show Bank of America is the top leveraged loan bookrunner for a 10th straight year.
In Asia overnight, stocks took their cue from Wall Street, posting their biggest one-day gain since March. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Treasury yields gave back some of Tuesday's gain, with JGBs rallying to multi-year highs. The Nikkei 225 led gains in equities in Asia, rising close to 2%, with the yen holding at a 108 handle. Chinese developer stocks led gains on the mainland, but drug makers fell. Markets were higher in Australia and Taiwan, while the KOSPI was flat in Seoul after South Korea reported its first current account deficit since April 2012. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. On the trade front, China is firing another shot in its dispute with Washington. It's fining Ford Motors' main joint venture in the country over antitrust violations. Bloomberg's James Mager reports from Beijing.
It's unclear, you know, just how linked all of these things are. It's quite possible that this is just an isolated case of an American company being fined. But when it comes after all of these different warnings that the Chinese government has put out, it's hard not to assume that these are all linked and these are all, part of a concerted effort to push back against the U.S. in the trade war.
The next chapter in trade talks comes this weekend when Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin sits down with China's central bank governor at the G20 finance ministers meeting in Japan.
Now on the trade front with Mexico, Senate Republicans are pushing back hard against President Trump over tariffs there. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, most Senate Republicans have objected to President Trump's use of tariffs to force tougher border enforcement by Mexico. And now they're threatening an override if the president vetoes a measure to keep tariffs on Mexico from going into effect Monday. In the meantime, there's a meeting today between Mexico's foreign minister and White House officials that may be Mexico's best chance to offer concrete steps to curb the flow of migrants into the U.S. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Finally, in M&A news, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries is in advanced talks to buy Bombardier's CRJ regional jet program. This according to sources who say discussions may result in an announcement as soon as the Paris Air Show this month. And again, futures are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up about 17 points, Dow futures up 150, and NASDAQ futures are up 56. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and it's Michael Barr with more on what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump said there's always a chance of the U.S. taking military action in Iran, though he'd prefer to engage verbally with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. President Trump made his comments about the prospect of conflict in an interview on ITV's Good Morning Britain. The president is on his third day of his trip to the U.K., and today we'll remember the 75th anniversary of D-Day. The president will join Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Theresa May, and other leaders for D-Day ceremonies in Portsmouth, England. House Democrats are growing more frustrated at what they call White House stonewalling. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
They say ignoring all requests for information, California Democrat Jackie Speier says it's very much time to pay attention.
It's time for us to get really serious about this. This is a individual who has violated every principle of the Constitution, and he does it consistently, and we sit back and don't take the kind of firm action we should be taking.
The White House had instructed two more former aides not to provide documents, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson. Now Hicks reportedly has agreed to turn over her pre-election papers to the Judiciary Committee regarding the months leading up to the 2016 election. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump says he'll seriously look at banning gun silencers after last week's mass shooting in Virginia. President Trump says while he didn't love the idea of a ban, he also was unhappy to see the frequency and severity of mass shootings in the U.S. The Florida deputy who knew a gunman was on the loose at the Parkland High School but refused to go inside to confront the assailant has been arrested on 11 criminal charges related to his inaction. Scott Peterson was the school resource officer at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School during the February 2018 shooting that killed 17 people. The central U.S. is bracing for flooding this week, and it's hitting farmers in the region especially hard. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst says this year's corn crop is taking a hit.
You're going to see the effects of this. It'll take a while, But you're going to see the effects of this in the grocery store as those price increases because of the smaller supply are passed through the supply chain.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Mets fans already not thrilled with the manager, Mickey Callaway, with the Mets 4 under .500. Last night won't help his popularity. Callaway admits he made a mistake. 2-out seventh inning, a 3-2 Met lead on the Giants, who got a man on with an infield single. Noah Syndergaard had 103 pitches. Not thrilled that Callaway took him out. And the manager said later he wishes he hadn't. Seth Lugo gave up a game-tying base hit. Giants went on to win 9-3 in 10 innings, erupting against Robert Gazelman, who was pitching for the fifth time in 8 days. In the loss, Met home runs from Pete Alonso and Wilson Ramos, 20th of the year for Alonso. In Toronto, Yankee home runs from Clint Frazier and Aaron Hicks, but Randall Grichuk and Freddie Galvis went yard against Masahiro Tanaka in a 4-run fifth inning. Blue Jays held on to win 4-3. Aaron Boone on Tanaka.
We made some mistakes with the slider tonight, and the home run to Grichuk and then to Galvis there. Couldn't put him away there. Thought the split was better, and then they strung some at-bats, obviously, against him there in the fifth to get to him a little bit. But overall, I just... You know, some mistakes with the slider really cost them, and then we weren't able to score enough.
Left 11 on base, went 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They'll need to win the next two to win the 10th series in a row. NBA Finals resume tonight in Oakland. Warriors and Raptors tied at 1. Kevin Durant still out for Golden State, and Klay Thompson questionable. Bruins captain Zdeno Chara has a broken jaw if he took a puck to the face, but he's a hockey player, so he might still play in tomorrow's Game 5 in Boston, the series with St. Louis. Tied at 2. French Open, Sloane Stephens' loss means no Americans remain. The big Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer semifinal match will be played in Paris on Friday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, the first international NBA Finals may be a coup for Canada, but maybe not for ABC. Viewership for the first two games is down 28% for the first game compared to last year, 29% for the second. Two factors at play. A lot of the audience is in Canada, so not included in the Nielsen ratings. And it's also the first time in 9 years LeBron James hasn't been in the NBA Finals. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, straight ahead, Powell sounds open to cutting rates. What's it mean for Treasury rates? We speak with Ian Lingen, head of U.S. rate strategy at BMO Capital Markets on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump says there's always a chance of war with Iran. He made the remarks before attending commemorations for the 75th anniversary of D-Day. The president also says he's not bluffing about tariffs on Mexican goods. At the same time, though, Republican Kevin Cramer predicts the Senate will have enough votes to override a presidential veto. The U.S. is pledging unprecedented action to maintain supplies of rare earth minerals if the trade war prompts China to stop exports. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says an extended supply disruption could cause significant shocks. And Wall Street brokers are facing the biggest overhaul of rules governing their behavior in years. SEC commissioners vote today to eradicate conflicts of interest, though critics say it's not enough. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
And George, thank you. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 166. NASDAQ futures up 62. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.12%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.25% or 12 cents to $53.35 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 1% or $13.60 to $13.42.40 an ounce. The euro at 1.1286 against the dollar. The yen 108.33. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House has instructed two more former aides to President Donald Trump, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, not to provide a congressional committee with documents. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler says the president has no lawful basis for preventing these witnesses from complying with our request. A bipartisan group of senators plan to introduce 22 resolutions of disapproval in reaction to the Trump administration's move to override that many congressional holds on more than $8 billion in arms sales to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan. That's according to a person familiar with their intentions. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The Warriors and Raptors are even at a game apiece. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Well, Federal Reserve officials, they keep dropping hints. And among those listening, Ian Lincoln is head of U.S. rate strategy at BMO Capital Markets. Ian, thanks for being with us this morning. When Jerome Powell says, act as appropriate to sustain the expansion, I got to wonder, is that a bit like an investor Rorschach test? You can read into it whatever you want.
Morning, John. Well, I think that it is somewhat cryptic for the broader market. However, for the people who follow this very closely, I think it's pretty obvious in the Treasury market, at least, that the Fed has conducted its second major shift in monetary policy this year. The first being from a active tightening campaign to being on hold and ending the run down the balance sheet, this one being the clear signal that the Fed is going to ease sometime between now and the end of the year. And the question becomes, when does that happen?
So has he just put a floor on yields, treasury yields, and a ceiling on the prices?
I would say that he has put a definitive ceiling on the on how far rates can back up at this point, particularly 10s and 30s, and there will be a lot more downside in front-end yields in the very near term, because as soon as the Fed delivers that first rate cut, the market will price in a series of at least another 100 basis points over the course of 2 or 3 months.
I was getting the sense that maybe bond traders felt that the big drop in yields went too far. What's your sense?
It would have gone too far had the Fed not been willing to acknowledge the pricing and willing to acknowledge the realities that they're going to be in a position to have to ease to counter some of the fallout from the trade war. So in an environment in which the Fed was going to be steady for the next, call it, 12 to 18 months in terms of monetary policy, the move would have been overextended. However, if the Fed's going to ease by the end of the year, that's already reflected in futures pricing, and so we're just seeing the Fed catch up to what the market's been telling us.
All right, we get data including the non-farm payrolls Friday, ADP a little earlier than that. You look at the jobs market in the U.S., it says anything but weakening at this point. Are they correct?
Well, the labor market has historically been a lagging indicator. What we're more focused on is business sentiment, because as soon as businesses start to lose confidence, as we've seen in some of the recent ISM reports, then they start to restrain hiring, they don't invest as much, and that's actually eventually flows through to the labor market. So we would expect an increase in the unemployment rate and non-farm payrolls to grow a bit more slowly in the second half of the year, unless there is a unanticipated resolution on the trade front.
Okay, so what is your call right now for yields with the twos or tens?
So we've been expecting the 10-year yield to end 2019 at roughly the 240 to 250 range. That's predicated on the idea that the Fed does follow through with a 50 basis point or more rate cut by the end of the year. That spurs a reasonable amount of inflation. And the big call for 2019 has always been the timing of the cyclical re-steepening of the twos, tens curve. And that's, I would argue, that just got underway. As at the moment, I have twos, tens trading at 27 basis points. That's the highest it's been in a while. And it suggests that the next stop will be 50 rather than an inversion in twos, tens.
Okay, right now the, just about 27 points, just under it, 26.835, that spread between the twos and tens. Ian, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate it. Ian Lingen at BMO Capital Markets. The two-year yield right now, 185. The 10-year yield at 212 as the bond market prices in rate cuts from the Federal Reserve after Jerome Powell's comments in Chicago yesterday. And as far as assets, risk market assets, S&P futures right now, they're up 17 points. The Dow futures, they're up 159 points. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Thanks, John. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are rising following yesterday's Fed-fueled rally, which saw each of the three major indexes soar more than 2%. Yesterday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell signaled an openness to rate cuts. Christopher Giancarlo is chairman at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission.
Knowing Jay Powell, I think he's signaling really a pragmatic response to whatever the global situation may be, whether it's trade tensions or anything else, to respond to global conditions, whatever they may be, to make sure that our markets continue to function in a straightforward and in an orderly manner.
Bond markets are already pricing in multiple rate cuts by the Federal Reserve this year.
Now, this afternoon, the Fed releases its beige book. Ahead of that, we get the first of three readings on the labor market, with employment firm ADP issuing data on business hiring at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a gain of about 185,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
April's report showed a gain of 275,000 jobs, the most since July. Bloomberg Economics says there's been significant hiring at medium-sized firms thanks to the strength of the domestic economy. But hiring at large firms has slowed, in part reflecting global trade tensions. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Again, Vinny, thank you. A correction there. ADP will issue that business hiring data at 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time.
And on the trade front, Senate Republicans are pushing back hard against President Trump over tariffs targeting Mexico. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Senate Republicans say if President Trump vetoes a measure to block tariffs on Mexico, they will vote to override. Senator Kevin Cramer, North Dakota Republican, says Senate Republicans are tariff weary. The president is leaving open the possibility that negotiations with Mexico could stop the tariffs. Mexico's foreign minister meets with White House officials today. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Some of the biggest U.S. tech companies could soon get subpoenas from lawmakers. That's according to Democratic Representative David Cicilline of Rhode Island, who chairs the House Antitrust, Commercial, and Administrative Law Subcommittee.
This is a bipartisan investigation. There's Republican and Democratic support for doing this in a thoughtful, responsible way. There may not be agreement with every solution at the conclusion of it, but I think people recognize that it matters to constituents.
Congressman Cicilline is aiming to propose legislation to reform antitrust laws, focusing on the impact of digital platforms on news media organizations.
France says it'll back the proposed merger of Renault and Fiat Chrysler with conditions as discussions on a deal to create the world's third largest car maker stretch into a second day. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has more.
Another meeting is planned this afternoon to study with interest, according to Renault's board, Fiat Chrysler's proposal last week for a 50-50 combination under a Dutch holding company designed to help the companies add scale, share costs, and boost resources for the expensive shift to electrification and autonomous vehicles. Longtime Renault partner Nissan has put up some resistance, while Renault's most powerful shareholder, the French government, has outlined a list of demands on jobs, industrial site locations, and boardroom representation. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. We're watching shares of GameStop in early trading. They're down more than 27% after a steeper-than-expected slide in sales. Here with that story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
GameStop ended its dividend, signaling that the troubled video game retailer can't find its footing. Comparable sales, a closely watched measure, fell 10.3% last quarter. Though GameStop's adjusted earnings were better than expected, the plunge in sales suggests the company can't pull out of its decline. Its sales of gaming hardware fell 35%, while software dropped 4.3%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 164. NASDAQ futures up 61. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. So is the FTSE 100. And the CAC in Paris is up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.8%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.12%. Yield on the two-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4%, or 22 cents, to $53.27 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1%, or $13 to $13.41.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1274 against the dollar, and the yen at 108.34. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's coming up to 6:35 on Wall Street. Now let's check the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says there is always a chance of war with Iran. President Trump speaking on ITV's Good Morning Britain says, though, I'd much rather talk. The comments come amid heightened tension between the two countries after President Trump blamed the Islamic Republic for recent violence in the Middle East and ordered 1,500 U.S. troops to the region last month. Meanwhile, on day three of President Trump's trip to the U.K., today's theme will be the 75th anniversary of D-Day. The president will join Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Theresa May, and other world leaders in Portsmouth, England. The White House has instructed two more former aides to President Trump, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, not to provide a congressional committee with documents. Former Broward County Sheriff Deputy Scott Peterson, who stayed outside during the deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida, has been charged with 11 counts, including felony child neglect charges. Ryan Petty, who lost his daughter in the attack at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, says Peterson's legal battle has just started.
It's very clear he knew what was happening. It's very clear to me he knew where the shots were coming from inside the building. And it was very clear he took a defensive position behind a cement pillar and stayed there for 48 minutes, even while other law enforcement responded and went in the building.
The February 2018 shooting left 17 people dead. Former Vice President Joe Biden made a campaign stop in New Hampshire. He was touting his $5 trillion new climate change plan at the town hall-style event. Biden believes he can eliminate carbon emissions by 2050 by taking action.
While we're standing around not doing much, the rest of the world is moving ahead. They're moving ahead while other folks are tweeting. They are moving.
Meanwhile, it said that Biden, while releasing his plan, lifted several passages from other sources without attribution. His campaign blamed it on an oversight. Another Democratic presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, is bringing his populist presidential campaign to the front door of Walmart, attempting to pressure the country's largest private employer to improve pay and working conditions. Sanders will be at Walmart's annual shareholder meeting in Rogers, Arkansas today to introduce a proposal to let one of the company's hourly workers have a seat on its board. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The Warriors and Raptors are even at a game apiece. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Ever more Americans are taking up bicycling as a mode of transportation. This is a good thing, but it's come with a cost. Bicycle deaths hit a decades-long high in 2016 before dropping slightly. Among vehicle-to-cycle crashes, among the most injurious, are doorings. That's the technical term for what happens when a car door crosses a cyclist's path, when a lightweight, fast-moving object comes into contact with a heavier, stationary entity. The effects can be devastating. The solution is called the Dutch reach. When exiting the car, instead of using the nearer hand to open the door, drivers use the farther hand. Reaching across causes them to turn, look backward, and, more likely than not, see an oncoming cyclist. It's a small behavioral change that asks little of drivers and costs nothing. Give the Dutch Reach a place on American roads. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, and it is a mixed picture for oil this morning, with West Texas Intermediate down 0.6% or 32 cents at $53.15 a barrel, while Brent is little changed to higher, up 5 cents at $62.02. Coming up at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly oil inventory report. Here with a preview on that is Bloomberg's Jessica Summers.
Analysts are forecasting a 2 million barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles. At the same time, though, the API reported a 3.55 million barrel increase. Investors will watch to see whether the EIA data shows a crude draw or build. The other big focus will be on distillate stockpiles. The API reported a 6.31 million barrel increase in distillate supplies. Now, that would be the largest gain since January if the EIA data confirms it, and quite bearish for products prices. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. It is 6:40 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to check now what's happening in D.C., where a lot of eyes this morning are on Portsmouth, England, where President Trump is joining the Queen, Prime Minister Theresa May, and other world leaders commemorating 75 years since the D-Day invasion. We expect the president to make some remarks at this ceremony. We will bring those to you live here on Bloomberg Radio. First, some of the other top stories happening in our nation's capital include Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin planning to meet with the head of the People's Bank of China at the G20 finance ministers meeting in Japan this weekend. The Senate considering nearly two dozen resolutions against President Trump's plans to sell arms to the Middle East without congressional approval. And President Trump saying his tariffs on Mexico,
any kind of resolution, the more difficult it becomes for Pelosi to hold her position. We're seeing an increasing number of Democratic presidential contenders for 2020 say that they, in the aftermath of Robert Mueller speaking out last week, breaking his silence about his probe, we're seeing an increasing number of the 2020 candidates essentially calling for the House to take up impeachment proceedings, or at least pursue impeachment proceedings. And so I think that in light of kind of all these factors, it's sort of a pressure cooker that's heating up, and it's becoming harder and harder for Pelosi to continue to hold that position, that it's not a smart move for the House to do that politically.
And the time we have left here, Kate, we should talk about the policy position that seems to be getting a moment in the sun right now to some extent. We talked yesterday about former Vice President Joe Biden's climate policy proposal that he came out with. I mean, this is the issue of the moment, climate change.
For sure. It's definitely an issue that's heating up, if you pardon my pun.
Yeah.
But we saw Biden come out yesterday with his plan, and it was a fairly ambitious one. And I think in a lot of ways, the timing of that was meant to cater to the left faction of the party, which is a faction with which Biden has been met with some resistance. There's been, concern that his policies could be too centrist. There was a lot of dissatisfaction among climate change advocates of, having a stronger policy. And so I think we're likely to see this continue to be an issue.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. We head back to the United Kingdom now, where President Trump is giving remarks at the D-Day commemoration. Let's listen in.
Civilization and to set free a suffering humanity. They will need thy blessings, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteous of our cause, our sons will triumph. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, the heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, and faith in our united crusade. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
All right, we've been listening to President Donald Trump speaking at the commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion from Portsmouth, England. The president reading from the prayer that then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt read to the nation by radio on or 75 years ago tomorrow to inform the nation of the D-Day landing. The president read that prayer as part of a commemoration marking 75 years since soldiers from the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, and other allied nations disembarked from Portsmouth to the D-Day landing in Normandy 75 years ago tomorrow. Much more throughout the day as President Trump's visit to the UK and Ireland now continues on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Now let's take a look at how stocks are faring. A global stock rally that was sparked by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's dovish comments continues. But the pace of gains are slowing amid lingering trade war concerns. Treasuries are edging higher. The dollar, it's steady after 4 days of declines. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 18 points. Dow futures up 156. NASDAQ futures up 57. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%, the FTSE 100 up about the same, and the CAC in Paris is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.12%, the yield on the 2-year 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 33 cents to $53.15 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.2%, up $15.40 to $13.44.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1265 against the dollar, and the yen 108.28. Today we are watching for a report on private payrolls from ADP Research Institute at 8:15 Wall Street time. Then at 10 we get a look at the service sector, and at 2 the Fed releases its beige book. We also are watching shares of GameStop, now down 26.5% after the video game retailer posted a steeper-than-expected slide in sales and halted its dividend. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump says there is always a chance of war with Iran. The president says, though, he'd rather talk it out during an interview with ITV in Britain. The president made the comments ahead of today's commemorations for the 75th anniversary of D-Day, which is going on right now. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam says he'll bring lawmakers back to the state capitol this summer to take up a package of gun control legislation. Last week's Virginia Beach mass shooting killed 12 people. The White House has instructed two more former aides to President Donald Trump, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, not to provide a congressional committee with documents. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler says the president has no lawful basis for preventing these witnesses from complying with our request. A bipartisan group of senators plans to introduce 22 resolutions of disapproval in reaction to the Trump administration's move to override that many congressional holds on more than $8 billion in arms sales to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan. That's according to a person familiar with their intentions. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox won, along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. And in the NBA Finals, Game 3 is tonight. The Warriors and Raptors are even at a game apiece. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:53 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for small businesses to expand. The latest paychecks, IHS Small Business Report shows jobs and wage growth were essentially unchanged from the previous month. Small firms' growth is limited by their ability to compete with big firms for talent. Paychex CEO Marty Mucci says small firms have to get more creative when it comes to hiring.
The best thing they can do, I think, is offer flexibility. Millennials, particularly in the other generations right now of younger folks, are looking for work flexibility. Can they work from home? Can they have flexible work hours? And that can differentiate a small business sometimes.
The Paychex data does show a tick up in small business wages, but much of that has to do with increases in minimum wages across the country. Middle Atlantic states like New Jersey and New York are once again ranked last among states in small business growth. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report. It is now 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Just as Hollywood seeks a path forward from the reckoning forced by the Me Too movement, it's taking on a key role in an abortion fight in Georgia. Netflix, Disney, and numerous other entertainment giants say they may reconsider filming future projects in the state should a new, highly restrictive abortion law take effect. Georgia happens to be the most popular filming location in the U.S. Its more recent productions include Disney's Avengers Endgame, Netflix's Stranger Things, and AMC's The Walking Dead. Warner Brothers is currently shooting The Conjuring 3 there. According to the state, the TV and film production industry added $9.5 billion to Georgia's economy last year, while supporting more than 92,000 jobs. Hollywood's liberal leanings have long put it at odds with the Republican Party. But at the same time, Hollywood's male-dominated casting couch culture hasn't made it the friendliest to women or certain progressive ideals. So it's high time the industry stand up for the rights and safety of its female workers. Doing so offers a chance for healing from its Me Too moment. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is delivering a bold response to his rivals for the Democratic presidential nomination who have questioned his commitment to fighting climate change. Biden is promising 100% clean energy and net zero emissions by 2050. His former boss, President Barack Obama, had promised to lower U.S. emissions 26 to 28% below 2005 levels by 2025. Biden is vowing to reinstate the climate policies of the Obama administration, not only recommitting the United States to the Paris Agreement on climate change, but adding some proposals to push well beyond that. Speaking in New Hampshire, Biden said such progress doesn't have to come at the expense of jobs.
There is not an inconsistency between dealing with cleaner air and cleaner water and a cleaner environment and good jobs.
Biden wants to see an investment of $1.7 trillion over 10 years into clean energy and other initiatives. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And some other stories we've been following this morning. Watching shares of Microsoft this morning, they are higher, but its online call and messaging platform Skype did lose a European Union court clash with a watchdog over whether its chargeable call service Skype Out should be regulated like a regular phone company. A service such as Skype that allows users to call fixed or mobile phone numbers is an electronic communication service which requires a company to register with the local telecom authorities. The EU Court of Justice said in a binding decision today. Still, Microsoft shares higher right now, up 1.3% in early trading. And Roku shares are up 3.2%. They were raised to buy from neutral at Guggenheim Securities. Futures again are rising this morning with S&P futures up 19 points. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.